rains from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Heard right here on this station. Tom Moore and company will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to join us and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Call 855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what the men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm Foy Forehand, a member of the Park Heights Congregation of the Churches of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. With me this evening is Frank Briscoe, gospel preacher and faithful servant of the Lord Jesus, who works with the Hillcrest Congregation of the Churches of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And also with Frank and me is Tom Moore, who is the faithful gospel preacher and servant of the Lord, working with the Park Heights Congregation of the Lord's People in Hamilton, Texas. Our topic for tonight is a follow-up, a continuation, if you please, of our previous study, the significance of being a Christian. And tonight we're going to consider belonging to the Lord. We've considered in the past God's New Testament requirements for becoming a Christian, to hear the gospel message even as Jesus required it to be preached, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Believing that gospel message, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and believing in the eternal divine identity of Jesus the Christ, John chapter 8, verse 24, one then with this genuine, deep-seated faith is brought to repentance as Jesus required it, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. And then one will confess faith in Christ before others as Jesus required it, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And after these prerequisite steps, one will then be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Then we have studied among the significant matters that a Christian has a new life and therefore is a new person with a new loyalty and a new authority for life. Tonight we continue to delve into these significant thoughts.
Tonight we're airing from KOME 95.3 FM. Out of Glen Rose. We're also airing on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and also KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. And this program will be re-aired at 6 a.m. on Tuesday on the Gospel Radio Network. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We want to remind you tonight that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to be involved with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And if you'd like to get involved in the chat room, you can go to thegospelradionetwork.org, click on the chat room area, and you can ask questions or make comments also in the chat room. We want to remind you also that there are podcasts of this program. If you'll go to the harrisonmoore.org website, go to your bottom right-hand corner, click on the RSS feed, follow the instructions, and you can sign up for the podcast, and we'll get a notification every time a new podcast is available. We also have an email address that you can ask us questions. The questions you ask us on the email, we won't address them tonight, but we'll look at them on another day, and we will address and give you a Bible answer for any question you have. And that email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org. That's questions@harrisonmoore.org. Again, this is a live call-in program. The number to call if you would like to get involved with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And as Foy mentioned just a moment ago, we're talking about the significance of being a Christian. And tonight we're going to delve into the area of belonging to the Lord. Frank, everybody desires a sense of belonging, don't they?
Well, I think that's one of the earliest feelings, one of the earliest desires that we have, even in our day-to-day life. You know, young people, they feel like they have to belong, and they want to be with the group. And I don't know that we ever really outgrow the desire to belong. And, you know, one of the most important things, in fact, by far the most important of all things, is our being able to belong not only to the Lord, but to belong with all those who belong to Him. You know, on the day that the church began, Acts recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, that chapter begins as that day and the immediate days following closed. It speaks of those individuals then by saying, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to them, or to the church, day by day, those that were saved. The actual Greek word there is He added together a sense of belonging, and they belonged to the Lord and enjoyed the belonging together. You know, Paul picks this up for us again in the 1 Corinthians letter. And in chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, he said, "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you're not your own? You were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body." We need to realize that as Christians, we are not our own. We have been bought by a price. Mm-hmm. We belong, and we belong to God.
You know, it seems to me, though, Foy, that a lot of people with this sense of belonging, they try to fulfill that desire through areas that's not going to be beneficial to them spiritually, right?
Well, that is true. It kind of reminds you of the old country and western song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." Mm-hmm. When we really want to know the right place, we look at the Scripture. And the Scripture tells us that we have to be in Christ to be in the right place, mm-hmm. to have the right fellowship, to be able to walk in the light and have fellowship with God and with one another. And so it really is an important thing that this sense of belonging be fulfilled in the correct place. There's any number of principles that could illustrate this fact. God has given us in a human body certain needs and desires and wants and likes, and many of them have a proper fulfillment. You think about the marriage relationship, a husband and wife. That is a proper place to fulfill the physical relationship. And every other thing God calls fornication. And it is destructive. This passage that Frank mentioned a minute ago, earlier in verses 17 and 18, inspiration says, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, inspiration says that fornication, a man who commits fornication, sins against his own body.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking for that kind of a fulfillment in the wrong place, it will never be ultimately satisfying. It's important for us, if we're going to understand the significance of Christianity, to realize that we have been bought with a price.
And as a result of that, we are God's person, aren't we? You look in your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The King James says we are God's peculiar people, a special people. We are God's possession, and we are his children. We belong to him. And so that gives us a sense of belonging that we all need, and it is the proper place of belonging to God.
It also gives us a sense of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If we are God's people, then we have a responsibility to live like God's people. I think that we've alluded to this maybe in one of the earlier lessons, of the fact that, you know, there are many in the world today that want to claim the name Christian,
yeah,
but they don't want to claim, or they don't want to live the responsibility that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are a people for God's own possession, then that gives us and places upon us the responsibility of being a peculiar, a special type of people.
Exactly right. Now, for in Old Testament times, God had a people after his own flesh, didn't he?
Well, of course, this would be physical, national, religious Israel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18, inspiration tells us that we're to look at them for certain lessons. Behold Israel after the flesh. Have not they that eat the sacrifices communion with the altar? Under the Old Testament Levitical priesthood, especially at times such as the Passover, but there were also daily sacrifices that were made.
Mm-hmm.
But when this Passover sacrifice was made, every male of Israel was required to be in Jerusalem. And the Levitical priesthood, the descendants of Aaron as the high priest, would offer these special sacrifices that God himself required. And so Israel, after the flesh, a physical nation, was still a special people. And they were special for the purpose of getting Jesus Christ into the world. Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 make that very clear.
Exactly
right.
That
was their purpose.
And as a result of that, he made Israel that special treasure to him above all people. For example, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, if you will obey," now that's a pretty big word there, isn't it? "If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be mine own possession from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine." You know, also you'll notice in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14 in verse 2, it says, "For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God, and Jehovah hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth." You know, when I think about this, God choosing them to be his own special people, they were his own special people because he loved them. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, it says, "For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. Jehovah thy God hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. Jehovah did not set love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for they were the fewest of all people. But because Jehovah loveth you And because ye would keep the oath which he sware unto your fathers, hath Jehovah brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Israel. And so it's very clear that God had chosen fleshly Israel as a special people to him. But Frank, just being a Jew, just being an Israelite, it took more than that, really, didn't it, to be really that special people unto God?
Absolutely. In fact, in both of the passages you read, there's a common word, and that is that they were holy.
Mm-hmm.
The word holy comes from the Greek word hagios, and it means to be set apart,
yes,
be different, sanctified. That they were a chosen, selected people. Now, as you mentioned there in the book of Romans, chapter 2, Paul is talking about the fact that the relationship that we have with God and that they had with God was not just a physical relationship simply because they had been born a Jew. But in verse 28 of the second chapter, he says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew that is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So even under this Mosaical system, it was more important and was absolutely important as to what their heart was and not just what their physical location happened to be.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about the significance of being a Christian and more particularly about belonging to the Lord. Frank just talked about how that under the Mosaic system, there was more important considerations than just being physical Israel. And for didn't Jesus have a very interesting discussion about this very issue in the book of John?
In John chapter 8, Tom, is where we find this particular thing, beginning in verse 37, where Jesus challenges the religious leaders of Israel at his time by saying, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, yet ye seek to kill me, because my word hath not free course in you.
Mm-hmm.
I speak the things which I have seen with my father, and ye also do the things which ye heard from your father." They answered and said unto him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's seed, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father." They said, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Then you look down in verse 44, and Jesus brings this entire discussion to a very pointed conclusion. He said, "Ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof." So, here again, the emphasis is not just on the physical relationship that they might have had with Abraham. John the Immerser pointed out that God is able of the stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So the point was, you have to be doing the things that God says do, rather than what men say do, rather than what the devil has encouraged men to invent as their own particular doctrines or traditions.
You know, I think the Jews, as Jesus pointed out, they had lost sight of the fact that just saying, "I am a Jew,"
mm-hmm,
made them in a right relationship with God. And I think we see the same thing in the world around us today. people will say, I'm a Christian, and yet they're living anything but the way that God tells them that they must live. They forget that they belong to God, and if you're a Christian, you belong to God, then that requires that you live as He who has purchased you out of the world tells you to live.
Exactly right. Amen. And under the covenant of Christ, the Christian is by faith a descendant of Abraham, an Israelite, whether he is racially a Jew or a Gentile. You see, we've got to realize that today Christians are the Israel of God. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 16, it says, as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. You know, there is much to do. Now, we're going to be talking about this later on in future lessons about premillennialism and the Jews' special relationship people say today that they have to God. But today, under the Christian dispensation, Christians are God's Israel. Christians are the Jews of God and not fleshly Israel.
You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, inspiration has the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit has the Apostle Paul write, wherefore remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made with hands, that you were at that time. Now, he's talking about when the Old Testament was still in force. Mm-hmm. When physical national religious Israel was a reality, and when the high priesthood, the Aaronic high priesthood, was still functioning and still in force, he says, you were at that time separate from Christ, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, since the Old Testament's been done away, since it's been nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, 14 through 17, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one, break down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh, this relationship that Christians now sustain to Jesus Christ and God the Father is far superior any physical relationship that anyone had with Abraham.
Now again, the number to call tonight if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the significance of being a Christian. And tonight, more particularly, we're talking about belonging to the Lord. We are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. And we are, therefore, God's person. We are a people of his own choosing, a special people, a peculiar people, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Israel of old was God's special people. And today, under the New Testament, we are God's chosen people. We are God's Israelites. We are the Israel of God. But Frank, this idea of the Lord's church being his special people was also mentioned back in the Old Testament in Leviticus 26, in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 12, where there it's mentioned that how that they were going to be his chosen people. There in 26 verse 12 it says, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Now this passage, Frank, was also quoted in the New Testament, wasn't it?
Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. that this tells us and indicates to us the relationship that we have and of our belonging unto the Lord.
So God's relationship with natural or national Israel anticipated this present relationship that we now enjoy in the Lord's church. And just as God in the Old Testament redeemed Israel, brought them out of Egypt, does he not also, Foy, redeem us today?
There are some beautiful passages that describe that concept. I think about Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and following. For ye are all sons of God, through the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, of Jesus Christ's inspiration says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself. And here again, the King James says, a peculiar people. Mm-hmm. The American Standard says, a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, this purchasing concept is set forth. If you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judgeth each man according to his work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible seed, with silver or gold, from your former manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, even the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, we've been bought and paid for.
Let's talk about this word redeemed for a moment. Frank, give us some information. You know, when you say something redeemed, people may not really catch the concept of Christ redeeming us. What is that all about?
Okay, if you back up on the word redeemed, it's to be purchased back. It's almost a military term. The origin of the word seems to have been when, in that day and time, an enemy army came through the land, was victorious, and they carried away captives. If they carried away a captive part of your family, a wife, child, then you had the opportunity of going to them and buying back the one that they had captured. And it was called the redemptive price. They set the price. If they had captured your wife, you want her back, you go and find out what it's going to cost. And the price you paid was the redemptive price. You redeemed them. Well, we've been captured. We were captured by sin, mm-hmm, and by Satan. Price had been set. And Jesus was willing to pay that price. And the price that had to be paid in order that we might be redeemed was the blood of Christ.
That makes us, again, that very special people, a people that belong to Christ because he redeemed us. He bought us, and therefore we indeed belong to him.
But that ought to not make us brag mouth and uppity.
Exactly right.
It should humble us. And we don't need to tell God how humble we are. He knows whether or not we are. But Jesus set the standard for what that is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, where inspiration says that we to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counting not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, mm-hmm, being made in fashion a man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. So when we think about this being purchased, it should be one of the most humbling things that a man could possibly contemplate. God loved me enough to do that for me, to shed Jesus' blood for me. That should be the most humbling concept that a man could ever contemplate.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-8 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the significance of being a Christian. And one of the significant things about being a Christian is that we belong to the Lord. Everyone desires a sense of belonging, and the trouble is some people are trying to fulfill their desire for belonging in all the wrong places. And as a result of that, they find themselves in very difficult situations in life. But we've got to realize that according to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, we have been bought with a price, and consequently, we belong to God. And as a result of that, we are God's person. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, we are a peculiar, a special people that belong to God. Under the Old Testament, God had Israel that was his special people. Today, New Testament Christians are God's special people. Today, we are the Israel of God. We have been redeemed. We have been bought with a price. But Frank, when we think about all these things and belonging to the Lord, Christians, are they not beneficiaries of the blessings of former physical Israel? Just like Israel of old was God's special people, now we are God's special people, and we have been benefited from those past forefathers.
All right, you know, in the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 6, and now I stand here to be judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Paul's referring, he's from trial, but he's referring to the promises that God has made, and that as children of God, as Christians, we are now the recipients of the promises that God had made.
And isn't it interesting that when you look at that great roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, after talking about all of these people, talking about Abel, talking about Noah, talking about Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Daniel, Jephthah, so many, after talking about all of these, in verses 39 and 40, inspiration says, "And all these, having had witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect." Even physical, national, religious Israel depended on Christianity in order to obtain the ultimate forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood, not even those Old Testament worthies could be right with God.
Exactly right. And so, God's special people are described in a rich variety of ways in the Scriptures. Notice just a few of them. Those who know God and are known by Him. Galatians 4, verses 8 and 9. God's special people are those who are of God. 1 John 4, verses 4 and 6. God's special people are those who have God. 2 John, verse 9. God's special people are those who are Christ, that belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, and verse 23. God's special people are those who are espoused or betrothed to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. And those who are God's special people are those who are friends of Christ. John 15 verses 14 through 15. So we think about the fact that we are God's person. We have a belonging to God. We are God's person. But Frank, the Bible also talks about us as being not only belonging to Him, but we are God's child.
All right, in Galatians chapter 3, as Paul brings that particular chapter to a close, he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek, and there can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male or female, for you are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there is not only how we become a child of God, but the fulfillment of the promise made way back to Abraham of being a child of God.
Exactly right.
You know, John carries this just a little bit farther in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And he speaks of those that have this relationship with God. And he said, "And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Mm-hmm. Now that passage began, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." And if we have that hope, God is pure, we're God's children, then we want to be pure, even as he is pure.
You know, that's an amazing concept, to be a child of God. For what does that bring to your thoughts when you think of yourself as being a child of God?
Well, there is, of course, the point made by Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, when talking to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again. You must be born of water and the Spirit to enter into the kingdom, to become a citizen of the kingdom, to be saved." But you also have such powerful passages as Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, where inspiration says of Jesus, "For it became him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." The very idea that we could be the brothers of Jesus and the sons, the children of God, it is amazing. It is awe-inspiring. It is challenging, and it is humbling.
We think about this family relationship to God in Christ, described as being sons or children of God, and as a result of that relationship that we have with him, we have the adoption of sons, as we see there in Galatians 4 and verse 5. But the thing that really strikes me and really encourages me and makes me feel honored and privileged and humbled is what is said in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. It says, "The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit," and he does that through the Word of God, "that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him." Can you just fathom the blessings and the joy that is ours as children of God because we are an heir of God? You know, I think about when your parents pass on, they leave you special things, you know, and you are heir to an inheritance. Can you imagine, Frank, inheriting of God?
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 tells us that we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. That's the inheritance that is ours. But you know, there are other things along that line as we consider the thought of being a child of God. You know, if we're a child of God, there should be a family resemblance.
Yes.
You know, we meet someone and they tell you that, you know, so-and-so was my father, and all of a sudden we kind of look at them to see if there's a family resemblance, you know, and that's physical. But, you know, we can look at it and say, you know, yeah, I can see your dad in you. I can see, you know, you've got some of his mannerisms.
Oh, you act just like your daddy.
You act just like your dad. Well, you know, if we're a child of God, there should be a family resemblance.
Most definitely, most definitely.
And I think that's what John was talking about there, as we read a moment ago. We want to be pure as he is pure. We want to be as much like God as we possibly can be, because we are his child.
Exactly.
This inheritance is an amazing thing to contemplate. There is so much in the Old Testament about physical, national, religious Israel inheriting the promised land. The promise made to Abraham that his descendants would inherit the promised land, and it would keep it if they continued to obey God. Otherwise, they would lose that inheritance. But when you think about the inheritance that God has for us, as Frank mentioned, reserved in heaven, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 talks about this inheritance, giving thanks to the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, to be an heir. And when you think about the judgment scene as Jesus described it in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 34, the king shall come and sit on the throne of his glory and separate the nations as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then shall the king say to those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared you from the foundation of the world. This inheritance has to be according to the terms and the conditions of the last will and testament, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. But oh, what a concept it is to have not only for future inheritance, but even now, all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus.
Exactly right. Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about the significance of being a Christian, and one of those significant items is belonging to the Lord. We've been bought with a price, and as a result of that, we are God's person. And we are also his child. And as a child, we are heirs of God. This inheritance is according to God's promise, Galatians 3 and verse 29. This inheritance involves every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. This inheritance is not going to have any carnal thing, is not going to have a part of the inheritance. And heaven, well, that is the object of the Christian's inheritance, Matthew 25 and verse 34. But to me, Frank, one of the significant things that sometimes I think people overlook, they don't have a grasp of, because we are God's children, because we belong to God, we also have to realize that we are God's pilgrim.
All right. As a pilgrim, We're looking for a permanent place.
Yes.
You know, we are just, you know, almost all of 1 Peter deals with the idea of being both a pilgrim or a sojourner. Idea of both words is the same. But the thought that is behind it is we don't belong to this world, that our citizenship is in heaven. You know, if we're a child of God, and along with this, maybe a little bit before we get into that, you know, as a child of God, there has to be a devotion to the Father's interest. You know, his interest has to be that which is important. There are passages that we look at, and sometimes we look at them only from one point of view, such as Matthew chapter 6, 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And then we look at the last part of it about what we're going to get for doing that. But there is also the idea there that in life, that which is first and important is that which belongs to the Father. Seek ye first his kingdom. Put his work and his things as most important in our life. And then, as you mentioned there a moment ago, because we're just passing through.
This
world is not our home.
This world is not our home. This is beautifully illustrated by the very life of Abraham himself, as we're talking about being God's heirs If we're Christ, then we're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, inspiration says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We are just passing through.
You know, and if we look at this life, this world in which we live, as the place we want to be, and not just as visitors, we're really not going to be belonging to the Lord as we ought to. Belonging to God obviously requires not belonging to self, not belonging to Satan, not belonging to the world. This world is not our home. You know, we sing that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." That is a reminder. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth." And so either we're totally on the Lord's side and this world is not our home, or we're trying to make this world our home, and then we then do not really belong to the Lord.
We lose the inheritance.
Exactly right.
And Jesus, of course, said in John 17, verse 16 of the apostles, they are not of the world.
You know, John, 1 John, we've read two or three different passages from it, but where he tells us that we're the children of God, and as such, we need to be pure as he is pure. But just a little bit earlier, John also told us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the vainglory or pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
The significance of being a Christian. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims in this world. But you know, Foy, the Christian as a pilgrim, as a sojourner, is a citizen in God's kingdom. Now, you mentioned kingdom, boy, people get that all messed up, don't they?
Well, they do. It's interesting to me. I'm great song person, and I love lots of songs, and one of my favorites is a song that says, my Father is rich in houses and lands, he holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King. Mm-hmm. A child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. But that song is taken from so many passages in the Scripture. Colossians 1:13, we're translated into the kingdom. Ephesians 2:19, we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our citizenship, the King James uses the word fellowship, but the idea here is the nation of which you are a citizen. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm thankful that we live in the United States of America and have great freedoms such as most folks in the world cannot enjoy and appreciate, but it is significantly secondary to being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven.
And sadly, there are a lot of people who are living their lives like this earth, this time, is their dwelling place. And again, we are just visitors looking forward to another place.
Okay. You know, familiar passage for us, 1 Peter chapter 3, or 2 Peter chapter 3, where he talks of the end of the world and of the fact that, as he says, he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. And now then the next verse is the key one for us. Seeing or knowing that these things are thus to be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? Mm-hmm. That we're just pilgrims here. This world is not going to last. Now, what kind of person ought we to be?
Exactly.
And that's
right.
Back to Foy's Child of a King.
Yes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. The Apostle Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, challenges us. If you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judgeth every man according to his works, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, about all those Old Testament worthies. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Exactly right. And so we realize tonight the importance of understanding who we really belong to. We are not to belong to the world. We're not to belong to anything of the world. We're not to belong to Satan. We belong to God. That's one of the great significance of being a Christian, is understanding who we belong to. And we talked about earlier in our programming how that we all want to belong to something. And isn't it true that's why so many people, like in our inner cities, these kids, they don't have a very good home life, they get involved in these various gangs because they need to belong to something. And the sad thing is that so many people are trying to find belonging in all of the wrong places. As a result of that, we need to understand one of the great significance of being a Christian, belonging. Everybody desires to belong to someone. And we need to realize, because we have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20, that we are God's person. We belong to him. And as a result of that, having been redeemed, we are his child. We are sons of God. We are heirs of God. And as a result, we need to consider ourselves as pilgrims. We're just here for a short time, right? And we need to be living our lives like this is not our home. As God's person, as God's child, as God's pilgrim, we need to constantly, do we not, contemplate the privilege of being a child of God.
You know, we appreciate the idea of citizenship. You know, we prize the citizenship that is ours for this country. You know, we need to realize that we have dual citizenship, that we are by birth citizens of the country in which we live. We are by birth a citizen of God's kingdom, and we can be and hold dual citizenship. But what we also need to always remember, there's a third kingdom out there, and it's called the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. You can't be in God's kingdom, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of his love, and in the kingdom of darkness at the same time. He called us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. So we can hold dual citizenship. We're here. We're in this land. And as long as we live, we will hold citizenship here. And we have citizenship if we're a Christian. If we're a child of God, we have citizenship in his kingdom, and we have all of the privileges and blessings that go with that citizenship. So it's a wonderful thing that we have.
Exactly. Now, Foy, remind us tonight, we're about to run out of time, but for us to be in God's kingdom, for us to belong to God, we have to become a New Testament Christian, don't we?
Well, at the risk of sounding impertinent, isn't that obvious? How could one be a citizen of the kingdom if one never got into the kingdom?
Exactly right.
So inspiration tells us, the very words of Jesus that came out of his mouth, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus was astounded by that. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, entering into the kingdom of God involves the new birth. It's a birth that involves water and the Spirit. The instructions which the Spirit have given us in the New Testament to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of our sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized, immersed into Christ for the remission of our sins, to be raised from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. Many religions in the world have it backward. They want you to be alive, and then they want to bury you in baptism.
Right.
But inspiration says you're dead in sin, you repent, you buried the dead and raised to walk in newness of life. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that scriptural New Testament baptism is faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
Exactly. And before we give you our final comments tonight, I would like to remind you of our additional sponsors. We're being sponsored not only by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, but also by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And also, from time to time, we have various people who donate money, individuals, and we're always thankful for those who are involved in this good work. Now, we have just a couple of minutes left. Frank, give us a one-minute summation of our thoughts tonight.
Okay, I think probably I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do that through the pen of the Apostle Paul. When we become a child of God, when we become one of God's children, when we realize that we're a pilgrim just passing through this land, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal whereunto thou wast called and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. I charge thee in the sight of God who giveth life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that you keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Excellent way to summation. Tonight we've been talking about the significance of being a Christian. We belong to Christ. We belong to the Father. Next week, we're going to talk about another aspect of significance in being a Christian, and that is we live a life of faith. It's been great to have you in our audience tonight. We hope that what you've heard has encouraged you to help you better appreciate the significance of indeed being a Christian. We look forward to hearing you, you being with us next week, listening in right here on this radio station. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see.